What's going on, podcast land? Welcome back. We're here for another episode of Caffeinated Bible Chatter. We just finished our one-off episode last week, and now we're actually going to start a cool little series here on the crowns. We'll get into those in more detail in a minute. But this is Kylo Shields. I'm sitting here on the computer now with Dylan Brown. Yes. Dylan, what's going on over there?
Yeah, I'm enjoying the computer thing. I don't know how many. Well, I do know how many views we get on YouTube and how many listens we get on the podcast platforms. But I don't know how many of our people switched over, or if any have, or if maybe this is new people listening. But I'm enjoying this because of it's just easier on us, and yeah, I can still see you. The only weird thing, like I've said in the past, is that I can see me. And so that's, I try to look away yeah. from me. but yeah, no, I think this is going to be a good series. Honestly, talking about crowns and rewards and eternity and stuff like that. We need to talk about coffee first. I was just about to jump head in. I was going to start preaching. You weren't going to be able to reel me back in. So let me say this first, big guy. For those that are watching via video, I've got the Georgia Tech cup with my coffee in it. So you can't go wrong. Better than like a boss. Yeah, that's some people would say that it's the exact opposite because Georgia Tech ain't bossing anybody around. But they did make a bowl this past year in football. So, if we've got any Midwesterner listeners or anything like that, y'all don't even know about college football. So I don't want to, it is what it is. Now, most of our people that listen in the South, and you're probably Georgia fans, and you get on my nerves. And during football season, I don't care for you. And so, but nonetheless, I'm enjoying my coffee. I am drinking a cup of decaf again, but it's because me and Big Kai, and we're not supposed to tell people when we record these. It's like a unwritten rule of podcasters that I've learned is like it's a podcasting sin. But we don't know what we're doing still, even though we're about almost 10 months into this or so.
Yeah, we don't have a clue.
Yeah. And so we've been recording in the evening. So I'm drinking another cup of decaf, but it is in my Georgia Tech mug, which I love. And it is that house blend Starbucks that I said that was so good. I got I'm talking a dash of almond milk. So nothing crazy. I'm trying to lower that, but a dash of almond milk and an intermediate amount of raw honey. And for those that have been listening, and especially recently, that's my jam these days is the raw honey. Because we're fighting inflammation and I like my coffee still sweet. And this is getting me slowly closer to drinking eventually one day black coffee.
So, I was going to say, it's getting darker and darker.
It is. And I don't know if the camera even could pick it up. I'll spill it out, but it's not very, it's literally not even a brown color. It's like a dark brown. I'm not a tan guy. I'm a brown guy. This is dark brown, so we're getting close for sure.
There we go. I actually don't have coffee right now because I just, on that 7-day cruise, I was on unlimited supply of coffee, so I had it constantly.
You're coffeed out for a minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's good that you're drinking coffee and not anything stronger than that, so praise the Lord.
Yeah.
We glorify the Lord for that.
Hey, if they ever make a drink package with coffee on it, they're in trouble.
That's right. Absolutely. I'd go just for that. I'd stay on the boat the whole time.
Yeah. But all right. Well, I guess we'll get into this new one. Last week, I was on the cruise when all those videos were coming out, but I think they did good. The YouTube shorts, they make a big difference. Get a lot of interactions with those.
They do.
We had a lot of people that have never seen our channel before watching those things. Maybe commenting some wild stuff, but
yeah. And I just for anybody that maybe you're a new listener or maybe you're not, but I'm not that spiritual. So, I'll tango with anybody. Okay. We don't get paid for this. So I know that again, that shocks many of you, especially considering our setup that we have. We're so high end, whether you're just listening via audio or you're watching the YouTube, but we don't make a dime from this. And so, you know what? I just throw haymakers in the comment section. I don't care. So
can't really get fired. So
that's right. All right. And the world's crazy anyway. I mean, my goodness, the world is full of a bunch of psychopaths. And so, you know what? We're just trying to be. And I actually had this thought. You know, we're obviously trying to do a good thing by doing podcasts and stuff like that. And we enjoy the snot out of it anyway. We like talking Bible. And it makes me study things that I necessarily wouldn't be studying just off the cuff all the time. But I was thinking, I wonder if Paul would do something. If he had the technology that we have today, I wonder if Paul would do something like this. Not specifically a podcast. I mean, maybe. But I just wonder if he would utilize technology. I think he actually would. And I don't know where this rabbit trail would end. Yeah. I mean, my thing is he was trying to reach as many people as he could. And so we're just trying to use the internet. So we're just trying to be Paul's best we can. But again, Paul talked trash to his haters in the ministry. 2 Corinthians 10. He's very sarcastic to the church of Corinth about other people. I will throw haymakers in the comments. So I enjoy that. So glad to be here.
Toss all those comments. Bear with us.
That's right.
All right. Well, last week, what does the Bible say about hell? That's right.
Yeah.
So if you missed that one, go check it out. I think that was a good episode. We talked about hell, what the Bible actually says about it, and how there's people out there that think hell is not necessarily a physical place, but it's more like a state of mind or something like that. But hell is a very real place. It's a physical place. And it's a place if you pass from here without knowing Christ, that's a place where you will end up. So if you're not sure of salvation, again, as we always say, reach out, shoot us a message on anything, social media, email, whatever. But again, that was another listener episode. So if anybody out there wants to do an episode on something, maybe you got a question or maybe not even a question, you just want to hear something, again, shoot us an email, some kind of message, and we'll try to do an episode on that. But yeah, so now this will not be a one-off episode like the last couple. This will probably last, I guess, a few weeks. We'll give an overview of the crowns today, I guess. And then over the next couple weeks, just break these crowns down in detail.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be a good study. And what I was going to say earlier before I randomly paused for like 4 seconds and then said, let me start talking about my coffee instead, is I was going to say that I didn't want to get too quick, you know, into this, but I was going to say that this is actually going to be a great study. And I think I know that it's super applicable. I mean, you know, it's easy, even if you're teaching the Bible, or if you're a pastor and you would know this, or you teach in any capacity, you would surely be able to relate to this too. But sometimes it's easy just to get hold of information and then regurgitate it out to other people without simmering down on it and actually letting it apply to you. And so I think this is something I'm excited about personally, because it's like, you know, it's like James 1:22 says, you know, don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer. And I'm applying that to me. I mean, my stinking goodness, this is such rich stuff that we're going to be looking at and applies to us completely. And some of the reality of these things may actually be closer than we think, as far as the rapture and judgment seat and all that. And so, man, the things that we're going to look at in this whole series, but specifically as an overview in this episode, let's take them to heart. And I want to apply them to my life. So I think it'll be extremely applicable. So,
yeah, I think this is, as we dive into this, it'll be a very motivating series.
Absolutely.
Get you moving on this thing.
Absolutely. Well, Kyle, do you want to grab? I just had Colossians 3:24 written down, maybe as kind of a Kickstarter verse. And it actually doesn't use the word crown, but I thought it'd be a good verse. I will say this. So we just, like always, we're going to just do a Bible study on this subject of crowns and eternity, crowns that we can receive one day. But three important words I would say that are connected in all of this is crowns, rewards, and inheritance. Those three things are all connected. I mean, if we get a crown one day, that is a reward. So they're synonyms, just about, I mean, technically. And it's even synonymous with an inheritance. And that's because, and Kyle has the verse here, but that's because when we go to the judgment seat, if you're saved, when we go to the judgment seat of Christ, if we do good at the judgment seat, when he's judging us based on our works after salvation, we do well, and he gives us rewards. He gives us crowns. That has to do with our inheritance that goes into the millennium, which follows the judgment seat of Christ. And that's Christ's kingdom, again, back on this earth where he's ruling and reigning. And we have the ability to rule and reign with him if we've done well at the judgment seat. So it just, everything funnels back to this whole thing, the reality of our stewardship of our life now after coming to Christ. So you go back to the time and place that you receive Christ. And from that point until the day that you draw your last breath or the day that you're raptured out, and I say until the day you draw your last breath, this is kind of a sidebar, but I actually believe if you die before the rapture, you still have the ability to gain more rewards, because if you've invested in people and then they turn around and invest in people, that's fruit that it remains, according to John 15. And that fruit would actually abound to your account as well. So until the rapture and the judgment seat actually gets here, we have the ability after the moment of your salvation to obtain these rewards. And that's what we're going to talk about. And so, Kyle, go ahead and read that reference if you got it. Yeah. Colossians 3:24.
Hey, do you mind if I read Ephesians 1:13 and 14 real quick? It kind of goes with it, I guess. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." And when we did the eternal security episode, we talked about this seal. In verse 14, it says, "Which is the earnest of our inheritance unto redemption of the purchased possession." So when you got saved, you received this inheritance, right? So this is that salvation, right? This, I go to prepare a place for you, right? This, we have received this inheritance. Now, when you get to Colossians 3, this verse Dylan's talking about, Colossians 3:24, again, it's talking about inheritance. "Knowing that of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." This inheritance is something earned, right? This is an inheritance or a reward, right? This is something you work for, right?
Right.
Yeah. So absolutely. There's a difference there. There's two inheritance.
Right. Yeah. I think it's First Peter that also references that non-earned inheritance that's reserved in heaven. That's just a promise of having an inheritance to be with Jesus forever after you die. But that's not the same, like Kyle said, that's not the same as Colossians 3, which is, you know, what we do after salvation that means that this inheritance is contingent on what we do. So contingent on our works, on our stewardship of our Christian life. So when looking at all of this, the word, like I said, those three words are very important: crown, reward, and inheritance. But the word crown, specifically what we're talking about, the word crown or some variation of crown is found 84 times in your Bible. And we always, you know, just compare scripture with scripture. So it's important to lay that out. Now, I will say that most of those references, like especially in the Old Testament, those are just references of, you know, primarily talking about literal crowns on earth. Kings and empires and stuff like that. But then when you get to the New Testament, of course, you see crowns or crown or some variation of crown. You see it a bunch as well. And in the Gospels, the crown is always referencing, like if you do a word search of that in your Bible app, it's always referencing Jesus's crown of thorns in the Gospels. Okay. Now, then once you get past the Gospels, this is where we really get what we call, you know, the five New Testament crowns, because every crown that's mentioned after the Gospels in your Bible, so from Romans on or Acts on, but I don't think crown shows up in Acts or Romans, if I remember right. But those references moving forward are talking about these eternal crowns that, again, are connected with the reward that we can receive. Every reference is doing that, except for like a couple, like Revelation chapter 6 is like a counterfeit Christ, and he has a crown. That's not anything to do with us. And then Revelation 12 is talking about Israel specifically in the tribulation, and that would be different too, obviously, because we're not in the tribulation. We're not Israel. At least me and you are not, Big Cal. We're part of the church.
Yeah.
Amen. So we're really looking at just studying this word out, you know, of course, in the Pauline epistles primarily, but there's a few other places. But we believe, unless Kyle says differently for him, I don't want to put him on the spot. But
yeah, don't say we. I don't know what you're going
to
say.
Yeah, I was about to say, we believe, I believe, and I think Kyle does maybe, but I would hold to the belief that there are five crowns, New Testament crowns that we can earn at the judgment seat of Christ. And so I say that because there are some people that believe there are more than five. There are some people and people that I think are actually great Bible teachers. One guy I know of specifically would say there's seven. And that would at least make sense for a good Baptist and a good Bible believer, because God loves the number seven. And the number seven is the number of completion and perfection. But I can't really find that. And maybe as we continue to do a deep dive in this, I'll change my opinion. But I would say there's five crowns that we can receive. And so, Kyle, if you want to go to 2 Timothy 4:8. So what are these five crowns? Well, and this is in no specific order, and we're going to spend weeks to come breaking these down in a deeper way, but we'll kind of give you an overview of them and just tell you what the verse says associated with the crown. But 2 Timothy 4:8 lets us know about the crown of righteousness. And so this is the crown of righteousness, and go ahead and read that, Big Cal, if you got it, 2 Timothy 4:8. This is for people that love the appearing of Christ.
Yeah. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Yeah, and so I would say a good cross-reference for that, too, would be 1 John 2:28, and I've quoted that a bunch on this podcast in the past, but it says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, there's that same word from 2 Timothy 4:8, when he shall appear, and that's certainly talking about the rapture, because he appears in the clouds, when he shall appear, we may have confidence. There's one option. And not be ashamed before him at his coming. So if the Lord's laying that out there, that he wants us to abide in him so that we will be something and not be something else. And that means both are possibilities. And so I would say those are two great cross-references for each other. The person that loves his appearing, well, that's somebody that's going to be confident when he appears, because they've prioritized their life in preparation for that day to come. Well, who is somebody that hasn't prioritized that in their life? Well, somebody that's just doing their own thing, living for what this world has to offer, and they have in no way, and their thoughts are not absorbed of the reality that Christ is coming. That doesn't consume and dictate their steps and their decisions. Okay, so that's the first crown, the crown of righteousness. Kyle, if you want to go to James 1:12.
Yeah.
James 1:12. The second crown is the crown of life. And this is probably, I would say, like if you've never done a study on this, it's probably the one that sounds the most common, or you've heard of, but the crown of life. And this is for, really, there's kind of two things we can find in Scripture, but I would say primarily it's for resisting temptation. And Kyle has James 1:12.
Yeah, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And then, I don't know if you wanted to, were you going to read Revelation 2:10 as the other places mentioned?
Right. Yeah, I got Revelation 2:10. Okay, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
So, yeah. And so I think
being a martyr.
Right. So that the second thing that like Kyle said, is that would be if you die a martyr's death, which I got to be honest, not looking to sign up for that one. But I think the one thing that those both do have in common is that both of those crowns are associated with resisting temptation. Because obviously if someone dies a martyr's death for Christ, they resisted in a large way some form or forms of temptation. like the temptation was probably like in its most simple version, like, hey, denounce Christ and don't serve him. And they didn't fall into that temptation. They resisted that and did kept doing what they were doing, and it resulted in that. So the crown of life comes from resisting temptation. And so we obviously know we're all going to be tempted. We all have temptations in our life, and how we respond to those and what we do with those is a mighty, mighty thing. And that's like 2 Corinthians 10:5 comes to my mind. It's something I've been studying for what we're doing on Wednesday nights with the youth group that I lead. But he talks about casting down imaginations and bringing every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. So that would be that first section of that verse would be a temptation. Okay, so what am I supposed to do with that temptation? Well, I'm supposed to cast it down. Well, the problem is I don't have the ability to cast it down. I'm not that strong. So casting is always a form of prayer, but it's not that I'm just taking that to the Lord in prayer. My response to that temptation as I pray about it is obedience unto Christ. And so that's what this reward, I believe, is all about, is, man, overcoming temptation through obeying the Lord Jesus and what he's told us to do. And so that is the second one. So number one, the crown of righteousness. Number two, the crown of life. And again, these are in no particular order. This is not an order biblically or anything like that. Just laying them out. Number three, and Kyle, if you want to grab 1 Peter 5:4. Number three is the crown of glory. And this is being a faithful pastor or minister of God's word. And go ahead and read 1 Peter 5:4 if you got a big cap.
Yeah, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away.
Okay, and I think it's, let me actually look it up. Is it 1 Peter 5:1 that talks about
pastors? Yeah, it talks about pastors, the elders which are among you.
It talks about feeding the flock of God in verse 2.
Feed the flock of God, which is my, yeah.
Yeah, so this is again, we said it's being a faithful pastor or minister. So I would say first and foremost, this is the context of this chapter is laid out to pastors. But I believe that anybody that's ministering the word of God, which we all should be, someone that's ministering the word of God and shepherding people, which is, that's what pastoring is. But again, a lot of things in ministry can have a pastoral concept to it without specifically being a pastor. If you're overseeing and leading and taking care of people and leading them in the word of God, teaching them the word of God, that would be a form of that. Well, that is where the crown of glory comes from. If someone does that faithfully. And so that is obviously a massive thing. And I'll be honest, it's a lot harder than it sounds, because, you know, pastoring and leading people can be tough and stuff like that. But gosh, coming off the heels of the whole martyr thing, it's like, okay, like now we're starting to get some momentum here. I feel like that that seems realistic, you know. I don't know. So that's the crown of glory, though. Okay, and then fourthly is the crown of rejoicing. Kyle, if you want to go to 1 Thessalonians 2:19, 1 Thessalonians 2:19, and I'm going to go to Philippians 4:1. And again, this is the crown of rejoicing, and this is for leading people to Jesus Christ. So this is being a soul winner.
Yep. Go ahead. First Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?
Okay. And so Paul's talking to the church of Thessalonica there. And these are people that, according to chapter one of 1 Thessalonians, he has given them the gospel. They responded. They received the word of God. They received the gospel. They heard it not as the words of men, but as the words of God. And they were, you know, they heard it with much assurance through the Holy Ghost. All those things were said in chapter one of 1 Thessalonians. So these are people that Paul has led to the word. And he says that they were his crown of rejoicing. So these things are deeply connected. I think it's 1 Thessalonians 2:1 or 3:1. We don't have to go there, but it talks about a similar thing as well. Talking about these people being directly connected to this crown.
And yeah, so, verse 20, because in 19 he's asking, "What is our hope, our crown of rejoicing?" And then in verse 20, "For ye are our hope, for ye are our glory and joy." Mm-hmm. So he's saying they are the reason for that crown.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. That's pretty self-explanatory. That's a simple crown. I mean, all these, I think, are simple. But that is, like, you can maybe say the loving of his appearing would be a little bit more subjective. I think when we do a deep dive on that, hopefully it'll make more sense. But I mean, leading people to Christ, that's not subjective. I mean, you either lead people to Christ or you don't. And so that's the crown of rejoicing. Okay. And then Cal, if you want to go to 1 Corinthians 9, this fifth one is the incorruptible crown. The incorruptible crown.
You want me to just read 25 or?
Read verse 24 through 27.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, certainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway.
Okay, and so we would say that this crown, based on what we see in the text, is for people, the incorruptible crown, is for people that run their race of the Christian life faithfully, and they do that by controlling their body. Now, we'll get into, I don't want to put the cart before the horse here because we have some episodes we're going to break this stuff down, but this would be very contrary to how a lot of Baptists think. But this would be connected. The whole idea here would be I'm going to be, because the judgment seat's about stewardship. So the whole idea here would be, okay, I'm going to be a good steward of these different things in my life so that I'll have a good judgment seat. Okay, well, this would roll over into our physical body. Okay, I'm going to stand before the Lord. I want to live my life, you know, glorifying Him. So I'm going to steward my life and even my health and my physical body in a way that allows me to be more efficient for the cause of Christ, that allows me to, you know, hopefully not end my life prematurely because of health situations. Now, obviously, health, you know, that sometimes things just go the way they go. I mean, I recently almost died. So, you know, there's that. And I felt like I didn't do anything to make that happen. But at the end of the day, we can be good stewards or bad stewards of our body. And so Paul says there that he kept his body and brought it into subjection. And so we'll say more about that, but maybe that one has the capability of triggering people. But we're just going to be true to the text and let the Bible say what it says literally without having to, we're not going to get all allegorical and Catholic like when we on that verse and not do that anywhere else. We're going to take it literal. Yeah. So we'll do with that what we will. Okay. So that's the five crowns. Again, number one, the crown of righteousness. Number two, the crown of life. Let me give the definition again. Number one, the crown of righteousness, which is for loving His appearing. Number two, the crown of life, which is for resisting temptation. Number three, the crown of glory, which is for being a faithful minister or shepherd of people. Number four, the crown of rejoicing, which is for leading people to Christ. Number five, the incorruptible crown, which is for running the Christian life faithfully by bringing your body into subjection. So that's the five crowns. Now, again, there are some people, and I actually had like Philippians 4:1 pulled up because, again, some people believe there's more, six crowns, maybe seven. Sometimes people stretch. I believe there's five. But like Philippians, so if you do a word search on crown in your Bible app, and again, we're looking, you know, in other places, but primarily the New Testament and the Pauline epistles. But you're going to see crown show up in 1 Corinthians 9. We hit that. You're going to see it in 1 Thessalonians 2. We hit that. 2 Timothy 4. We hit that. James 1. We hit that. 1 Peter 5. We hit that. Okay. So there's your five. And then Revelation kind of talks about some of the same things. There's your five. But what you actually have is you have another reference in Philippians 4:1, which says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so steadfast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Some people will, I think, if I understand right, will try to make that a different crown because it's a different reference and a little bit different wording. But that reference sounds a whole lot like 1 Thessalonians 2:19, where he says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing?" Are not even in the presence of the Lord Jesus in his coming. So joy, and that joy being connected with that crown, I would say is the crown of rejoicing. But that would just be another reference for you to study and look at. So that's the, that is the five crowns, that we find in the Word of God that we can obtain as a reward, one day. And so, really, just as we, you know, doing this as an overview, I think the way that we'll kind of land the plane on this episode before we start dissecting these a little bit deeper is some things that we need to remember about these crowns. Okay, obviously, again, connected, they are rewards, and they're deeply connected with the inheritance that rolls over into the millennial reign. But number one, I'm just going to give you a few things to think about, and Kyle, you throw in anything else that you have. But number one, these crowns will be received at the judgment seat. We've already said that. But that's something that you just, in case some of this stuff is new for you, you got to remember that. And Kyle, if you want to go to 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. But where we'll get these is at the judgment seat. So we'll go before Christ. The Word of God in 2 Corinthians 5 actually calls the judgment seat the terror of the Lord. And that's because it can be a bad day, because if there's going to be many things that we wish we'd have done differently, we wish we'd have been better stewards in different areas. And the judgment seat is not a judgment at all to do with if we're saved or not. If you're at the judgment seat, that means you are saved. But it's a judgment based on our works after salvation. But it's called the terror of the Lord. And that's because we can suffer a lot of loss, but it can be a good day as well. And that would be because, man, if we stand before the Lord Jesus and he is honored and pleased and says, you know, like he says in Matthew, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And he you know, tells us that we represented that in our life and then gives us crowns. Well, we then will lay them back at his feet and be able to glorify him and all of those things. And so it'll be a great thing. But we actually received these at the judgment seat of Christ. So go ahead and read that in 1 Corinthians 3.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 11. "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire."
Yeah, and so you see there, there's two options. There's wood, hay, and stubble, which is carnal things in our life, and those will be burned up. And then there's gold, silver, and precious stones, and those are directly tied because it's talking about a reward there. Those are tied with the crowns. And so we have, and those things will make it through the fire. And so therefore, if they make it through the fire, they will last. They will eventually, and we'll say something about this here in a second, but they will bring God glory at that moment and then later on in time. But one of the ways that will last and bring us, allow us to bring the Lord more glory in the future would be, again, the whole inheritance thing. So if we do good at the judgment seat, then we'll do well at the millennium. And again, that's where we have the ability to rule and reign with Christ back here on this earth for 1,000 years while he has his kingdom here on earth. But again, Colossians 3:24, as we read earlier, says, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord." And I like this verse after. I forget about it a lot, but verse 25 says, "But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done." He's talking to Christians here. And there is no respect of persons. And man, what a statement for Paul to say there through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to say in the context of an inheritance, this talking about this eternal inheritance. Talking about the millennial kingdom, he says there is no respect of persons. So it doesn't matter your background, what you come from, and all those things. Man, what we do with our life in Jesus Christ and the Word of God that He's given us, what we do, man, is going to matter in an immense way based on what we receive, and where the receiving will take place is the judgment seat of Christ. Yep. And so, and then number two, not only will these crowns be received at the judgment seat, but number two, we've laid this out a couple of times in different episodes on the podcast. So just bear with us if you've heard this, write these references down and you study this out for yourself. But I believe deeply that these crowns, if we receive them, that these crowns will be used to build New Jerusalem. And I've said that and laid that out a couple of times. But that is something that I'm pretty positive about from Scripture. Kyle, if you want to read 1 Corinthians 3:12 one more time.
Yeah. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble.
Okay. So notice the things there that we can receive that are good, that are connected with rewards. And that's gold, silver, and precious stones. Okay. Well, Revelation 3 verse 12 is a very interesting verse. Because it says this, it's talking about the overcomer in the church age. It's talking to the church. This is specifically the Philadelphian age. But he says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. So this person is going to have this city on them. So that's kind of weird. Which is New Jerusalem. So the city is New Jerusalem. That's going to be on these people that overcome. Okay. Which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And then if you run, we don't have time to necessarily hit all the references, because Revelation 21 talks about, or you can go study it for yourself. Revelation 21 talks about New Jerusalem and how it's made and what all the confines on that are. But specifically, Revelation 21:18 gives us what's primarily known and what the city is made out of. Okay, so we've gotten this so far that we want to build in our life gold, silver, and precious stones, which are eternal things that make it through the fire of the judgment seat, and they'll remain. Is what the text says later on in 1 Corinthians 3. Okay, then we find in Revelation 3 that people that overcome, okay, the people that overcome, God will build their city on them, okay? Well, then you go and you look at specifically what the city's made out of. In Revelation 21:18, it says, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper. Well, jasper is different stones, which would be very equivalent to the precious stones of 1 Corinthians 3. And the city was of pure gold. And we talked about gold there. That's the first thing there in 1 Corinthians 3. And so, like I said, you go to Revelation 21 and you study it out. But the connection is pretty clear, in my opinion. That because, you know, it sounds like a weird thing. Like, why would we get these crowns and then therefore lay them at Jesus's feet? Like, that's kind of a quick exchange. Well, because I believe Jesus is going to take those crowns and do something with them. Because according to Revelation 3, he is going to build on overcomers. He's going to build upon them a city, and that city is New Jerusalem. And it's interesting, back in Revelation chapter 3, I read you verse 12, which again talked about him that overcometh while I make a pillar, blah, blah, blah. Well, verse 11, the verse that precedes that says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So he doesn't want anybody to take your crown. And then he says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. So can't tell me that they're not connected, because they are. And so that's something to consider too. So yes, our rewards, they will follow us to the judgment seat. That's where that'll actually happen. That'll follow us to the millennial reign, and I believe they'll follow us all the way to New Jerusalem and how we're able to glorify Christ for all of eternity. And then thirdly, this kind of last reminder, and I think it'd be a warning for all of us, and that is, even though we can gain rewards, and praise God for that, we also can lose crowns. We can lose rewards. We can lose crowns. Cal, if you want to go to 2 John 1:8. But we can lose these things. And that would be a terrible thing to think about, especially if you're giving your life to the cause of Christ and you're yielding yourself to Him. You know, doing the things that those five crowns talk about, and then you just get off the path and start living for yourself or whatever it may be that causes that, and you start losing stuff. That's why the Bible says over and over and over again to hold fast. It says hold fast the word of truth. He says to hold fast in regards to His coming. Over, I mean, it's a very repetitive statement and charge to the church. So I read you a second ago, and I'll read it again, but Revelation 3:11 says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." So somebody, for God to give that warning, somebody's going to have their crown taken, and it may come from that, the result of that may come from a man. I do think it's interesting that in Galatians, he says, he talks about the church of Galatia, the churches of Galatia, you know, starting to leave the life in Christ by faith, and they're turning to the law, and, you know, faith plus the law and all those things. And he says, "Who hath hindered you?" He doesn't say what. And a lot of times in our life, sometimes the who is us, but a lot of times in our life, the things that pull us away from Christ and from the mission of Jesus Christ is not, they're not always what's, but they're who's. And so we have to be careful of that. And so go ahead and read, if you got it, big guy, 2 John 1:8.
Yeah. 2 John 1:8, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward."
Okay, and so that's a great cross-reference for Revelation 3:11. So it could be that you will obtain or build up, if you will, in eternity, a certain amount of rewards. But if we begin to neglect the things that God's called us to, and we begin to drift, and we begin to get off-centered and to not have singleness of heart on the mission, and then it could be that we don't receive a full reward. So it could be, you know, you still get some of what you've worked for. But it could be that some of those things are tainted and tarnished and no longer become a thing for you or for me, because of things that change in our life throughout time. And man, what a time to be alive, and what it would be a stupid thing for me to get my eyes and my mind off of these eternal things and the Lord Jesus and His word. It'd be a stupid time for me to do that, considering what we've said so much, and that is that we believe the rapture is super close. So yeah, those would be some good reminders of those five crowns.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's why this is going to be such a motivating series for us, right? I mean, we've read about this being this judgment being the terror of the Lord. We read verses about being ashamed or standing there naked. And then you just read that 2 John about we can lose our crowns. Right. Yeah. But He wants us to have full rewards. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think a good verse for that, "Look to yourselves," right? He wants us to have a full reward, is that 2 Corinthians 13:5, where Paul says, "Examine yourselves." Right, this is that challenge. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Right. Mm-hmm. So these crowns, right? We don't have to be scared of this judgment seat. Right. Our judgment seat doesn't have to go bad. Right. We can have a good judgment seat. But to do that, we gotta examine ourselves. What are we doing? What are we doing in our life right now?
Absolutely.
I mean, is our life doing? Are we doing things for the mission, or are we not? I mean, are we going to receive crowns or not? This is definitely a motivating thing. So this is a good one, I think. But yeah, I guess is that it for this one? I think that closes down an overview. Hit all five crowns. But yeah, go check those references out for yourself while you wait on this next week's episode to come out. The references were given. The five crowns were given. But yeah, I would say go read those things, see what the word says about it, and then we'll dive into each of these crowns. We'll probably hit two crowns in the next episode, and maybe two after that, or something, two or three after that.
Yeah, and if you're still listening here at the end, then we would, you know, we've made it very clear. If you're still listening on the podcast platforms, you can keep doing that, and we thank you for your listen. But if you are on the YouTube side of things, man, like the videos. That helps the algorithm, helps us out. Or maybe if you want to stay on the podcast platforms, then leave a review if you've never done that. That'd help us out too. So, as always, yeah, we have open ears to what you want, what you'd maybe want to hear or study or discuss. And that's what our last two episodes were all about, actually. So keep those rolling, and we'll keep opening the book and seeking to study those things.
Yep. Yeah, definitely go like the YouTube thing, trying to build the YouTube up. It can be tough to build up a Christian YouTube channel, I think. But
yeah.
But yeah, definitely go leave a comment or something. Just say what you think about it. If it's bad, Dylan may get you if it's a bad comment. But well,
we take anything that generates the algorithm. So
yeah,
keep them coming. Right. We love it all.
That's right. All right, well, thanks for listening. We will see y'all in the next